Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson. I'm rocking solo this week for the Players' Championship. Zachary is vacationing, and Statboy is at a youth baseball board meeting. It's a big week because they got tryouts this weekend, so I guess that's going to be running late. And I am feeling under the weather, so I would like to get to bed pretty soon. So I'm just going to go solo this week, spew out all the information that I have for the Players' Championship. This is a great event. I love it. First, though, before we even get into Arnold Palmer, does anyone else feel my pain in that and have kids who are on spring break and absolutely not a damn thing to do if you don't go out of town or on vacation? And then to top that off, are sick and just passing it back and forth amongst you in the house. It's been a hell of a winter. It seems like someone's got something all the time and then they get over it, but someone else gets it. And it's been a tough Monday so far to kick off spring break for the fam. And yeah, I just don't know if anyone else feels my pain out there, but that's what I'm going through. But I got my article done today. Actually, I was able to start it a little bit early because DraftKings had their pricing out early. So I was working on it a lot Saturday, working ahead. And I actually kind of like when that happens because then I have my thoughts go on to paper before we see the result from the tournament that weekend. And that certainly came into play. And some people I pivoted off of, some people I stayed on based on what happened the rest of the weekend, but I will talk a little bit about that. It was Bay Hill. It was an exciting finish to the tournament. Really exciting for us at Team FGI because we hit, I believe myself and Nick hit Russell Henley. I had him at 45-1. I got him early on, right when the odds were released last week. And I talk about this all the time. It's guys I target in the South, in Florida. Henley is one of them. I just like to load up because no matter what type of form they're in, and Henley was in good form, but no matter what type of form they're in, I like to target them. I actually like, and another example is like Corey Connors, who wasn't in good form, but he was coming off the West Coast, and he shines. And if you look at his career record and his best career, best performances, they're almost all in the South on Southern courses in Florida, in Texas. So, and we saw it last week. There he was up top leaderboard. I don't always expect him to give us a top five, but coming off of his form, not a whole ton of people were on him. So I like that. I liked Henley. And we hit him. It was pretty crazy at the end when he sunk that out of the bunker, out of just, it didn't look good. And it looked like Morikawa was going to cruise. I chose not to hedge in any way, shape, or form going into Sunday, which might have been stupid. I just haven't been hedging hardly at all over the past year or so. And I'm not sure why that is, but it turned out this time really nicely. And I'm glad I did not mess around with anything like that. Just stuck with Henley. I felt pretty confident in what I had seen from him recently. And he just fits these Florida courses. And just with his accuracy, the putter is just really, really good for him. He's fun to watch. He just steps up and pops it in. He does not hesitate. He doesn't stand over it. Even some tricky ones they were saying, like Bones and the other guys on the course were saying, oh, this is a tricky 3-4 foot putt. And he just stood up there and drilled it, which was fun. I love that course. I love TPC Sawgrass, which is the course this week. I love these difficult courses. Generally, I love PGA National, but that didn't materialize. I love seeing these guys tested, the best in the world, just struggling for par on a lot of holes, and bogey is in play on just about all of them. And that's what made it so fun yesterday coming down the stretch. You just knew that there were possible bogeys that everyone could run into. And that's what happened to Morikawa. He was not perfect and putter let him down a little bit. And he just did not come up as clutch as you would think a guy who is as elite as he is in the world. And it's been a long time since he's won, too, which is quite amazing. It was pretty funny when he was interviewed on Saturday. The name escapes me of the gal who interviewed him, but she brought up how many days it's been since he had his last win, and he got a little irked, which was kind of funny. He's like, oh, I'm surprised you don't know how many hours and minutes it's been since I won either. It's kind of funny to see him. He's normally a pretty positive, good personality guy, but I could tell he was a little irritated by the question. But it has been a long time for someone with as elite of ball striking skills as he has. And he, man, he was locked in, especially like on Saturday. God, he didn't have any putts over 8 feet. Everything was just absolute heat seeking missile toward the pin. So turned out well. It was a fun event. This week we move on to one of my favorite events, one of my favorite courses. That is TPC Sawgrass, the Players Championship. The first thing I wanted to chat about is DraftKings decided to change their pricing structure this week for the first time. I don't think we've seen it yet this year. Have we seen it once? I don't think so. We've been kind of waiting for it and surprised that they went away from it. Maybe they did do it once, but they have a 5K range. So 5K is the lowest amount, and it really stretches things out. And yet they made the top tier just about the same, and Scotty's at 12.8. So it makes roster building quite easy this week, because there's some legitimate guys down in the, well, especially the 6K range, but even in the 5K range, there's some guys that you can own on rosters. The TPC Sawgrass is, and especially now in March, is wind can really kick up, and we've seen it absolutely destroy tee time wave. So be sure to check back. It's too early to look right now, but in a couple of days or on Wednesday before the tournament, check and see what the wind looks like, because that can absolutely crush everybody, as we've seen throughout the years. TPC Sawgrass is on the shorter side. It's 7,352 yards, plays as a par 72. Got some narrow fairways, should have some long rough like we saw last week at Bay Hill. That was awesome. I'm so glad they did that, by the way, as opposed to PGA National where they shaved that down. But I'm so glad they had long, difficult rough, and we should see something similar to that this week, at least I'm hoping. The greens at TPC Sawgrass are smaller than the average size on tour. They're 5,500 square feet. They should be on the quick side too, 12 to 13 on the stimp. Bermuda greens, but again, overseeded with POA, so you can look at that. Also, as a reminder, there is a cut this week as well, top 65 and ties this week. And we always see just a nasty cut line too. We see, and when you look at tournament history, you see nobody is immune to missing the cut at this event because of the blow-up holes, because of wind, because of the difficulty. It's just a very chaotic and volatile event. So for that reason, I kind of like being contrarian in a lot of spots as well, because we get the unpredicted happening at this year after year. Let's see. According to the PGA, they've kind of gone back to a lot of the peat dye elements that were original to this course, which I like to see. And here it is a peat dye design, but it's been changed through the years. So it's good to read that it's going back to some of the features that peat dye had originally. I used a lot of the same comp courses on my comp course model this week as I have been the last couple of weeks, including PGA National, including Bay Hill, Sedgefield, Copperhead, TPC Scottsdale, Eastlake, Jackson. Those are all courses that I look at the comp course model, and it's kind of similar to what we've looked at the past couple of weeks, and it's served us pretty well for the most part. There's a couple of guys who have bombed that ranked really, really well on that, including Justin Thomas last week. That was brutal. I don't know what it is with the guy. He has really screwed me on many of occasions. I thought he had kind of got through that, but he didn't look very good last week. So what do we do with player pool this week? Like I had said, with the lower tier stretching down a little bit, gives us some options. So it's, do we want to own Scotty or not? And yeah, he had finished T11 last week, which is not ideal for us Scotty owners, but like I said in my article, you could have gotten there in some GPPs, at least to cash in with him in your lineups, if you also had, you know, Russell Henley, Corey Connors, pairings like that with him, and then didn't blow up with something ugly with your other guys on the roster. So it wasn't a complete and utter disaster with Scotty. I have a hard time going away from him, especially here, especially on a tough course. He's not that far away. It's been mostly his putter that's been the issue, and that's generally the case when he isn't putting well. He's real close. When he's putting okay, it keeps him in there. He dominates, right? He wins. So I think he can win this week. I really do. If he finishes top three or four, that's fine. There just isn't anything up in the top range that makes me want to pivot off of him. Even with the ownership, I'm guessing 25% he'll be owned in a lot of GPPs, maybe a smidge higher. But I think people are going to pivot a little bit off to Morikawa after his runner-up finish last week. I think Oberg is going to be owned at 10,200. And I don't like those guys that much. You know, I don't like them more than Scotty. So I'm going to stick with Scotty myself. Own him with half my rosters, approximately. And then there's a couple of guys down here that are interesting in the 9K range to me. Hideki Matsuyama has the type of game that you want at TPC Sawgrass. You want elite players. When you look at the winners through the years, there aren't hardly any schlubs at all. It's all elite guys. Scotty, Rory, JT, Ricky, Jason Day. You see a couple mixed in there. Even like Cam Smith won it. But you see a couple mixed in, like Siwoo Kim, who I actually kind of like, and I'll get to down a little bit lower. But it's elite players because of the difficulty of the course. And it's an elite field too. But there's a lot of players. So it says something that the top guys are winning this tournament, and I would expect similar here. So if you can get guys down in the 9K range that you feel are capable of winning it, I think we own them. Daniel Berger is one of those guys. He's been playing pretty well, and he's staying consistent. I've been kind of worried about whether the back flares up a little bit, but because he's been playing a lot, and I don't see that happening. And he's played pretty well here through the years at TPC Sawgrass. Hasn't played here in a couple years because he's been injured, but he did before he was injured, and he's been playing well leading up to that. So I like him. I generally don't own the winner from the week before. I had Russell Henley all written up on Saturday. I'm like, this isn't just another Florida course. I'm in heavy on Russell Henley. I don't care what happens at Bay Hill. So now the question is, do we go back to him? And I am going back to him. I don't even think that he's going to be massively owned, because I think most people tend to go away with winners from the previous week. And a lot of the time when guys bomb, it's guys who, I don't know. Henley hasn't won in a while, so I can't say it's guys who haven't won in a long time, because he hasn't won in a long time. I just put him in a different caliber that I think he's capable of responding and giving us a top 10 this week and just riding the momentum. So I am going to own Henley. I'm going to own Tommy at 9,800, which is not something that I often do, I would say. But I like what I've seen from him. I like what I saw last week at Bay Hill, just kind of grinding it out. And that's really what you need. He's been consistently good as far as making the cut here. And he has a couple of top tens in his career. I remember watching him, I think it was 2019, when it came down to the end, and he was right there. So I'm going with Tommy, even though, yeah, he hasn't won, and he isn't a guy who you like to bank on for a win. Surprisingly, I actually am throwing a couple ducats on an outright for him. I just feel like you hear guys that are not capable of winning, and then we heard that with guys like Sergio and others, but I think they're just not capable of winning until they win. And eventually he's going to put it together. He has the game to do well at TPC Sawgrass, and it's just a matter of time. So I'm owning Tommy, and when you pair him with Scotty, it leaves you 6,850 to fill out the rest of your roster, which is very, very doable. Guys down in that range, which I'll talk about, but that is not a bad pairing at all. And I can see those two being in the final couple of groups come Sunday this weekend. Dropping down to, 9,100. I also like Shane Lowry, and I wrote this in my column. I don't care what happens. He was in the lead before his round on Saturday when I was looking, doing my research and writing my article. And I had Lowry, so I wanted him to do well. But part of me was like, well, if he doesn't do well, at least we're going to not have crazy ownership on him for the Players, because I really like him here as well. He's played really well here a few times the last 4 years, T19 last year. So I like him quite a bit. He's shown well, really well on comp courses the last 2 weeks in Florida. This is where he shines. He lives down there now too. So he is a guy I really like at 9,100. And if you didn't want to go the Scotty route, you could do a Berger, Fleetwood, Lowry team, and that would leave you 7,100 to fill out your roster. That's not bad either, because I think those are three guys who are capable of putting up top 10s, maybe top 5s. So that's not bad. But dropping down to 8K range, this is a range that, well, there aren't that many guys, but I have very, very little exposure to in this range. Siwoo Kim, I mentioned earlier, he's at 8,200. He's the Pete Dye guy. He's the guy we want on Pete Dye design courses. And if they're highlighting Pete Dye elements and design, then it's only going to favor Siwoo. He looked pretty decent last week, and he's looked pretty good this season so far. Just a bunch of top 25s, which are not amazingly high finishes, but he has played well here pretty consistently. I think most consistent place he's played throughout his career, because he's just not that consistent of a guy, but he won back here in 2017. He's got a couple of top 10s the last 4 years. So this is a place that I like him, and the price is pretty good too. You could also own some Jason Day. I could not believe when he hit the water on Sunday. He looked like he was in the mix, and something would have had to go really well. But when he hit the water, he dropped his club on a follow through. I was like, no, dude, that, because he's a guy I pull for. I like him quite a bit. I think he's a really good dude, and I would like to see him back on top, if just for a week or a tournament. So this week, I think it's possible. He played this course really well when he was in his prime, and the injuries just kind of took over for him, and he hasn't been the same guy, but occasionally he mixes in that top 10 like we saw last week. So he's still got some game. I like his around the green game. Putter is always going to be good. So I think he's a possibility at 8,100. Corey Connors, I already mentioned him, 7,900, Florida, lock him in. He's a different guy on these courses. And will we get a third place finish from him this week? I can't guarantee that, and I would doubt it, but I get a top 10 out of him. He looked really good last week, looked really solid, just couldn't close the deal on Sunday. But he had a 13th here last year. He had a 7th back in 2021. So very capable. I like how he's typically very accurate off the tee, stays out of trouble, and he's accurate into greens too. Struggles with the putter. But I like him a lot at 7,900. Dropping down a little bit. Let's see. I own some Denny McCarthy. I don't like the tee to green game. Got the hot putter. Just seems to always kind of be middling finish. He had 18th place finish last week. I don't even think I saw him on any television broadcast, but there he was, and he makes cuts at TPC Sawgrass, which is so wild. He's 5 for 5 and made cuts here. So I have some exposure to him. I know Brian Harman's going to be a popular guy in this range at 7,600 because of his tournament history. I just never get Brian Harman right. I don't know if I'm going to own some shares or not. I'm kind of up in the air on that one, but finished runner-up here last year. I don't think I've ever owned him when he's been runner-up anywhere. So, yeah, I haven't decided on him completely yet. Last week, I was a little contrarian in owning Matthew Fitzpatrick. Actually, a lot contrarian. just because he's back on Bermuda, and I know it's Poa overseed, but back on Florida courses where he has done well, tight courses, think Harbor Town. And he finished fifth here last year. He just hasn't been the same guy over the past year that he was prior to that. But he gave us a T22 last week, which was not the end of the world. We owned him at, 5, 10% in some GPPs. So you could own him here at 7,500. I think that's reasonable. Nick Taylor at 7,300. I've been high on him a lot this year, and he's been really, really good. T31 last week was not fantastic finish, but wasn't the end of the world. I'm going to own him this week, and I actually kind of like him the most down in this range. Maybe him and Seabez. Seabez is a guy who I talked with Zach about on the podcast last week. Didn't play great at PGA National T42, and I said, didn't play difficult enough for him because he's a guy I target in tough conditions on tough courses. He generally plays better. He's more of a grinder than he is just a birdie maker and a scorer. And sure enough, last week we got tough conditions. He's back in the top 20, T19 finish. Two straight T13s here at TPC Sawgrass the last 2 years. So I will own him at 7,100, see if he can grind out another top 20 finish. Akshay absolutely bombed out on Thursday last week. What did he shoot? It was like a 79 or something. Absolutely insane. So he was pretty much out of it after the first round. He bounced back a little the second round, but he was out of it. So he missed the cut last week. He'll be off a lot of people's radars. That, and he missed the cut here last year. So I don't see a lot of people owning him, but he's a super talented player, and at 7,000, I just have a hard time not having some exposure to knowing his possible upside, and I can't discount that just for one horrible round, one blow-up round last week. So I will own him at 7,100. Going down in the 6K range, a few guys that are intriguing to me is Ricky back at 6,600. Who knows? T18 at PGA National. He's been up and down here. Obviously, the win back in 2015, but he's missed a few cuts since then, been struggling. I don't know if I'll own much of him, but he's definitely interesting. Let's see who else. Justin Rose looked really good last week, and he's played well here over the years. He's a possibility. Other than that, not much. Tom Hoagie was in the mix for a while last week, but then he fell off and did not finish well. I know. I passed up my guy Ben Griffin. Oh, my God. After a couple T4s, including the T4 at PGA National, the Florida course that I target him on, he did not look great. I actually started pretty well, if I remember correctly, last week, but fell off. T45 finish was not what I was hoping for, because I also had an outright on him as well. I might own a couple bucks on an outright on him this week, although I don't like his chances as much as I did last week, just because such top-tier guys win this tournament usually. And I'm kind of surprised, actually, just to go off on a tangent, at the odds this week that we're not getting better odds. Last week it felt like we were getting better value from our guys, but I like I said before, I like Tommy Fleetwood this week, and we're only getting him at like 30, 33, I saw is the best, I believe, which isn't great for a guy who never wins for a field like this when you're competing with a guy like Scotty to win. So I don't love the odds that I'm seeing here. I'm just pulling it up here real quick. A couple others stood out to me. Lowry I like too, but he's 35. Russell Henley down to 28. I don't love the value. I just, in this tournament, on this course, I did lock in, I don't know if I said this already, Corey Connors at 50. I'll take that. A guy who I liked actually before last week was Sam Burns, but something's gone amiss with him. He had been playing really well, but then lately he's just been a bit lost and hasn't really done a whole tremendous amount here at TPC Sawgrass, but he's stuck out to me at 80-1, which was kind of interesting. Jason Day at 55, Daniel Berger 55. I'll take an outright on him there. Zalatoris stood out at 80-1. not sure what to think of his game right now. But if he was right, if he was completely healthy, I don't mind him on this course, even though he hasn't done much in his first few years here in his career. So interesting. Beyond that, as far as outrights go, I don't know that it's worth putting a whole lot onto just because of the elite players generally win this tournament. I would stick in that 30, maybe 25 to 50 range somewhere in there. Justin Thomas was interesting to me. I don't really want to own him on DraftKings at the price. He's just, I can't get a read on that guy. But I don't mind owning an outright on him. But I hate it's 20 to 1. What the hell? It's just insane. What have we seen out of Justin Thomas that he's warrants 20 to 1? But I don't know. I might end up doing that, putting him in my betting picks this week. So I'll get back to DraftKings, dropping down to that 5K range. Have to be a little bit careful with guys in this range. Matty Schmidt is a guy who I was super high on coming into the year. I actually owned him on a lot of best ball teams just because I liked his potential and he was not good out of the gates and didn't do anything for the best ball teams, which a lot of them are toast now, and that's when he starts playing well. He has a T18 and a T6 the last 2 weeks, so it's just a little bit slow in going to start the year. That didn't do me much good in the best balls. I like Taylor Moore quite a bit, and at 5,600, I really like him. He consistently makes the cut. He puts up decent performances. A couple of top 10s this year. A couple top 35s here at TPC Sawgrass the last 2 years. So I think that's a really – that type of play down in this range – is really solid that you could just load up in the top tier and round it out with a guy like Taylor Moore. Patrick Rogers, who I've been high on, but I don't know what it is about this course, but it obviously doesn't agree with him. Miscut, 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 T65, miscut, 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 miscut. That's enough sample size for me to say, yeah, there's clearly something here that is not working for him. So I won't own Patrick Rogers this week. I think Alex Smalley, 5,400, is a good play. He's had a really solid year so far. Other than that, I don't know. Is Rico Hoye back? He had a couple decent performances after being miserable, but I'm not sold yet. I think Doug Gims is going to have a few owners at 5,600. It's going to be interesting to see. I think a lot of people are going to go heavy stars and scrubs and load up with Morikawa, Ober, Scotty, and then drop down to this 5K range because there's some reasonable guys. Brothers Højgaard, I think, are worth owning some shares of just because they're so cheap, have huge upside. I wouldn't be shocked if either one or both just were at the absolute bottom of the leaderboard, and because they're very capable of blowing up, especially on this course. Nikolai missed the cut last year. Rasmus doesn't have any tournament history, so that's a little worrisome, but I just feel like I should own a few shares just because of their talent and their upside. Other than that, I think that pretty much does it. Be sure to utilize all of our research tools this week and every week. The FGI model, the course comp tool, is one of my favorites, one that I helped construct because I like the idea of, and especially when you get on these certain types of courses, these tight courses with a lot of trouble, a lot of them play very similarly, and you have the style of player that gravitate toward them. So I like that tool quite a bit. I always look at the odds versus pricing tool as well, just kind of an overview to see if we have any values that stand out. The putting splits, take a look at that. Obviously, the FGI model is really good. Put in your inputs, your parameters, whatever you want. And I usually do it several different ways. Like if it plays super tough, if it plays easier, you know, if the rough's super long, what we're looking for, whether it's what we're going to focus on, if it's accuracy or if we're looking for longer hitters off the tee, I will play with it and come up with different strategies and stack rosters accordingly, because I think that's super important. You see that happen all the time. You see, you know, you can stack based on weather, you can stack based on ownership, you can stack based on what type of course it is and type of player, and I think are all really smart GPP strategies when you're building lineups to try and hit, you know, try and bink that big one. There's some big contests out there this week. I also like that on DraftKings has some of their bigger contests of the year this week. So should be interesting. I would love to see some FGI logos up there in the GPPs. Keep us updated if you have a sweat going. That's always fun. I root for Team FGI all the time. I love seeing guys up there hitting big dollars, and we've had quite a few winners so far this year. So keep up the good work. Enjoy the Players Championship, and best of luck to everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye.